Chapter 17. I did not know how much I wanted the world until my ship finally made its way up the murky Bayou Saint-Jean towards the city of New Orleans, and I saw the black, ragged line of the swamp against the luminous sky. The fact that none of our kind had ever penetrated this wilderness excited me and humbled me at the same time. Before the sun rose on that first morning, I'd fallen in love with the low and damp country, as I had with the dry heat of Egypt. And as time passed, I came to love it more than any spot on the globe. Here the scents were so strong you smelled the raw green of the leaves as well as the pink and yellow blossoms. And the great brown river, surging past the miserable little Place d'Armes and its tiny cathedral, threw into eclipse every other fabled river I'd ever seen. Unnoticed and unchallenged, I explored the ramshackle little colony with its muddy streets and gunnel sidewalks and dirty Spanish soldiers lounging about the calaboose. I lost myself in the dangerous waterfront shacks full of gambling and brawling flatboatmen and lovely dark-skinned Caribbean women, wandering out again to glimpse the silent flash of lightning, hear the dim roar of the thunder, feel the silky warmth of the summer rain. The low-slung roofs of the little cottages gleamed under the moon. Lights skittered on the iron gates of the fine Spanish townhouses. It flickered behind real lace curtains hung inside freshly washed glass doors. I walked among the crude little bungalows that spread out to the ramparts, peeping through windows at gilded furniture and enameled bits of wealth and civilization that in this barbaric place seemed priceless and fastidious and even sad. Now and then, through the mire, there came a vision, a real French gentleman, done up in snow-white wig and fancy frock coat, his wife in panniers, and a black slave carrying clean slippers for the two high above the flowing mud. I knew that I had come to the most forsaken outpost of the savage garden, and that this was my country, and I would remain in New Orleans, if New Orleans could only manage to remain. Whatever I suffered should be lessened in this lawless place. Whatever I craved should give me more pleasure once I had it in my grasp. And there were moments on that first night in this fetid little paradise when I prayed that in spite of all my secret power, I was somehow kin to every mortal man. Maybe I was not the exotic outcast that I imagined, but merely the dim magnification of every human soul. Old truths and ancient magic, revolution and invention, all conspire to distract us from the passion that in one way or another defeats us all. And weary, finally, of this complexity, we dream of that long-ago time when we sat upon our mother's knee, and each kiss was the perfect consummation of desire. What can we do but reach for the embrace that must now contain both heaven and hell? Our doom again and again and again.